Praise the Lord.
I'm going to walk over here a little bit. Now, you children, you're going to have to be quiet. Because I have no inhibitions to speaking to you if you're misbehaving. I don't want you talking to each other. I want you listening. I suppose it's just the way it would be in school, right? No talking. All listening. And if you misbehave, I'm going to point you out. And we may even set you in a corner somewhere. And that goes for you adults too. Hallelujah. We're very glad to be here. Things in the world are becoming very difficult. It's making our ability to travel very difficult. There are certain things that are happening in the world that are going to affect you, and they're going to affect me. We have a spirit that is called the prince or the power of the air. And his goal is to destroy humanity. That means his goal is to destroy you. Destroy you. Destroy you. And he is not going to be satisfied until every Christian who is bought by the blood of Jesus Christ is either eradicated or brought under the subjection of that evil spirit. So, but God is bringing a word to a people who have an ear to hear. And but it's not enough just to hear the word of God. You must do what you hear. And if you don't do what you hear, then quite frankly, God cannot do anything for you. The Bible says in Matthew 24, that great tribulation. Now, I suppose many of you have had tribulation. And you probably thought the tribulation that you had was great tribulation. But that tribulation is nothing. That tribulation is nothing. Did you hear me? No matter how sick you may have been, the storm may come along and blow your house away. You may be persecuted, looked down upon, despised. You may be cursed, whatever the case may be. You may have been in an accident. And you may have suffered some major physical disability. And I'm sure you probably thought that that was great tribulation. But that tribulation is nothing. Did you hear me? That tribulation was nothing, is nothing compared to the tribulation that is coming. Because the Bible says that great tribulation, such as the world has never known. Did you hear it? Such is the world. You know, as I study the history of the world, and in the aspect of the persecution of the church, I read some things in history concerning what was done to people. I read in the paper what has happened over there in Asia. Little children, little girls, little boys, young people. And I say, how can anything be worse than this? And yet the Bible says great tribulation is coming to the world at large. We have been coming to you for almost 8, maybe 9 years. Hallelujah. And we have been bringing to you a particular word. A word that is designed to bring you out of the lower realm of humanity into the higher realms of God. It is a word that is supposed to change you from being Filipino or whatever tribe you may come from, translate you out of that tribe into the tribe of Judah, give you the heritage of God, and to make you a son. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference if you are man or woman. Doesn't make any difference if you're old or young. The word is designed to take anyone who believes it and begins to work with God to bring forth the revelation of what the Bible calls Christ in you. Unfortunately, did you hear me? Unfortunately, you have not been utilizing the word in the capacity, using the potentiality that the potentiality that is in the word to create within you a desire to change. Now, I do not know of anybody who has any kind of sense of responsibility who does not desire to at least be better than, or live better than what they are living at the present or have lived in the past. You who have children, you're educating your children. Maybe you didn't have that education. Why are you educating your children? You young people who have been going to school and want to go on to school, To a higher learning of school, why do you want to go on? Huh? Why? Because you want a better position of life. Fathers go to work. Women go to work. In order to make money. To spend on bettering their lifestyle and the lifestyle of their children. So, how is it that we think that the process that has been given to us according to the Word of God and the expectation that God has according to that Word that He in Himself does not desire the same thing for His children? Hallelujah. You know, as my children were growing up, and as I have the opportunity to encourage my grandchildren, you know, sometimes they don't do so good. And I have to take them to the woodshed. And I have to apply Bible. Hallelujah. Discipline is an important part in the instruction of children. Hallelujah. When my children were very small, much younger than some of these, when they came to church, they had to sit and listen. Hallelujah. They had to listen with their ears and with their heart. I find that some children are good at listening with their ears, but some children don't know how to hear with their hearts. Hallelujah. So I have to teach them. So when we would come out of a service, I would say to the children, "What did you hear? Did you hear God today? And if you heard God, what did God say to you?" And they would have to tell me in their words. And then I would have to take the time to show them in the Bible that what they heard was God. Hallelujah. But if I did not know the Bible, if I was not in the Word of God, if I was not meditating on the Word of God, hallelujah, then I would not be able to develop their ability to hear with their heart. There is a mistake I made with my children that I'm not making with my grandchildren. I had taught my children how to be responsible, how to be a good citizen, how to fit into the society in which they live, how to be a credit to the name that they wore. Hallelujah. Which are all very good, but it isn't sufficient. Because whatever I teach them in that arena is just temporary. And the environment in which they are living is changing so rapidly. It is not what it was when I was a boy. For one thing, we did not have internet when I was a boy. So all that stuff that is on the internet, both that which is good and that which is bad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It wasn't something that I had to deal with on the continuum. Hallelujah. Everybody seems to have a cell phone. In fact, I have found that more people in church have cell phones than Bibles. Hallelujah. I won't ask you today how many of you have your Bible. Hallelujah. Some of you may not even have a Bible, I don't know. But having a Bible is critical. And I want to tell you a little something about that. It's not my responsibility to give you a Bible. It's your responsibility to get a Bible. Hallelujah. And to the degree that you want to know about God, is the degree that you are going to do anything and everything that you can that is legitimate to get that Bible. And the first thing that you have to believe is that God is a reality. He is a personality. He's not a figment of your imagination. It has to become so real that if a man walks up to you with a revolver, with a pistol, and he picks that pistol and he points it at your head, and you see those little bullets in the chamber, and he clicks that hammer back, and you see that bullet flip over into the barrel, and he says, "You deny Christ, or I pull the trigger." Huh? That's tribulation. But it's tribulation that is determined to try your position of reality. Hallelujah. You have to know that Jesus Christ is not only a historical figure, but he is a personality that wants to walk and talk with you individually and personally. And he wants to talk to you about the position or the place of your inheritance in him. Hallelujah. He doesn't want to talk to you about building a big church. He doesn't want to talk to you about your obligation to fill that church. He wants to talk to you about the reality of him walking inside of you. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. When, you see, God had a church in the beginning. And the church didn't work. And he said in Jeremiah Verse 31, he said, I'm going to make a new covenant with a new house that I am going to call Israel.
Lusabaka.
Now that new covenant was designed not to regulate a people from the outside by rules and regulation. Hallelujah. That covenant was designed to work from the inside out. Hallelujah. Because he says, I will walk in them. I will talk in them. And they will be my people. And I will be their God. That church. We are still living under a denominational thinking. Denominations are not something that was worked up in the workshop of God. Now, I don't know what your Filipino word is for denomination. Hallelujah. But denomination in the English comes from the word that means to have of having a domain. It means that there is a kingdom that is a domain. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when you take the word denomination, it means it's like you taking a pie or a cake and you cut it into sections. Hallelujah. You take a pie. Hallelujah. You take a pie and you cut it into sections. And each section is a kingdom. Hallelujah. You take this piece out of the pie and you put it on a plate. Huh? You take this piece of pie and you put it on a plate. This becomes Baptist. This becomes Methodist. Huh? You take this piece of pie and you put it on a plate and it becomes Pentecostal. Huh? I asked you a question. Is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? So, if I am denominational, let me put it to you in a little different way. Let us say, this is Brother Bert's. This is Brother Bert's fellowship. Hallelujah. is how is what is Brother Bird that he should have a fellowship? I'm going to use you. I hope you don't mind.
Yeah, Edmar.
This is Brother. This is Brother Edmar. Edmar's fellowship.
Huh?
Who is Brother Edmar that he should have a fellowship named after him? Hallelujah. Let us say this is Brother Raymer's. This is Brother Raymer's fellowship. Huh? Hallelujah. Where did you go to church today? Oh, I went to Brother Raymer's fellowship. So the fellowship belongs to Brother Raymer.
Huh?
Oh, I went to Brother Edmar's fellowship today.
Oh,
so Brother Edmar becomes the pastor over the fellowship. Oh, I went to Brother Bert's fellowship today. Well, then Brother Bert is in trouble. Because Brother Bert isn't teaching you that he is nothing. Huh? Hallelujah. But the problem's not only with Brother Raymer, Brother Edmar, and Brother Asbill. The problem is with you. Because you are giving strength to the pastoral spirit. There is a spirit in you that is Antichrist. Oh boy, I'm in trouble now, huh? There's a spirit in you that is Antichrist. And it was the spirit that you were born in the natural with. Every person who did not sin after the similitude of Adam fell under the curse of that sin. So every person that was born since Adam was born dead. But that terminology death does not describe the condition of your soul. So when you and I were born, we were born with an Antichrist spirit. How many of you parents have found out the revelation concerning children? That you do not have to teach your children how to do bad things. Have you found that revelation? They don't know what lying is, but they will lie. They don't know what stealing is, but they will take the cookies out of the cookie jar without telling you. You don't have to teach them how to be bad. It is inherited by virtue of their natural birth. Hallelujah. And the problem is, we as parents don't understand the spiritual ramification. Hallelujah. You know, when somebody comes along and says, you know, your daughter, your son, they look just like you. You feel pleased, right? You feel come on proud. Oh, really? You really think so, huh? Praise the Lord. You don't think, oh my God, I hope not to the Lord God that he's like that.
Huh?
Hallelujah. You don't think that way. God help us to understand the reality of the truth that God has given us in the word that he has speaking to us. All right, children. Children! Let's quiet down. Hallelujah. We have to begin to understand what it is that God is offering to you and I. There's a little story in the Gospels concerning a young man. And it illustrates to you and I what it is that God is expecting of us as Christians. Now, I don't know what the word in Filipino is for Christian. But I know where the word comes from. Do any of you have any idea what it means to be Christian? The word Christian is made up of the word Christ. So, if I am a Christian, then I have to be like Christ. Hello? Not my natural heritage. You know, I'm not what you would call pure blood. I come from a mixture. I have some German in me. I have some English in me. And that English-German is all mixed up with American. Hallelujah. All mixed up in there. So when you see me, you're not just seeing me, you're seeing my Germanness, you're seeing my Englishness, you're seeing my Americanism. Hallelujah. I have to overcome these natures. These natures, they are inscribed and embedded in my soul. Hallelujah. This is talking. In my soul, I have a mind. I have emotions. I have a will. I have my desires. This is me. And when I am born, I'm born under a curse. That's me. That's me. Capitalize. Hallelujah. Because you see, when in the garden so many thousands of years ago, when the devil got into God's business, and if the devil is not getting into your business, brethren, then you're not hearing from God. Hello? Are you Satanas. In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2, chapter 2, no, chapter 3, when the serpent met the woman in the garden, hallelujah, when the woman met the devil in the garden, and the devil began to talk to her, hallelujah, the first mistake she made was to listen. Hallelujah. We should not make that same mistake. Not if you are born again. You have had the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your soul. You have become a living soul. That living soul means you now have a direct connection with God. In the United States during the Cold War period, I never could understand how a war could be cold. Hallelujah. But during that period, the President of the United States had a phone in his office that was directly connected with the Kremlin. So in the time of trouble and confrontation, he could pick up that phone and start talking to the man that was in charge. Some of us are connected to the devil. We are connected to the devil by the way that we think. And if you are born again, you have the ability to transform your mind. The Bible says, let therefore this mind that was in who? What's going on over here? What's going on? Huh? One of you want to get up here and preach or what?
Huh?
You have to be still. Hallelujah. We have to change the way that we are thinking. And if you are thinking, huh? If you are thinking Filipino, you are connected to the devil. Oh boy, boy, boy. You don't like that one, do you? Hallelujah. Romans. Romans, the 8th chapter. Let's turn over to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter. Hallelujah. The 6th verse. For to be Filipino minded, Romans 8, verse 6. Hallelujah.
Oke, rumah berurus masih proses. Angka berapa orang kembali selamatkan atau hama urusan proses makanya. Apaan angka berapa orang kembali selamatkan
masih. Haleluya. The Bible says carnal.
Ang Biblia na ngayon ng kalibutan.
Now, the Bible uses the terminology carnal whenever it's talking about a Christian who is operating under the mind of natural birth. The Bible does not use the word carnal to describe a sinner. It uses other words to describe sinners. Now, Paul was not talking to sinners, especially in the 8th chapter. Did I say 8 while ago, or did I say 6? I said 8. All right. Paul was not speaking to heathens in Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. And in Romans chapter 8, Paul is dealing with sons. Hallelujah. Because it talks about sons and the latter part of the book of that chapter. So, my enemy is not out here somewhere outside.
Huh?
My enemy is here in my mind. So when somebody comes to me and the devil wants to agitate me or irritate me, he will say something to me or he will do something or look a certain way. And our mind begins to work on that something and begins to destroy the reality of what is actually happening. Hallelujah. So, you have a thought and you express that thought. And the person to whom you are talking does not like your thought. So they begin to argue with you concerning that thought. Of course, now you think that they are stepping on your toes. So you begin to defend your position. And the conversation degenerates. And what was a thought now becomes an emotion. So you are enlisting more help in your confrontation. Hello? Are you there? Hallelujah. And you know, this happens quite often between husbands and wives. The wife has a particular thought and the husband doesn't like it. So the husband begins to tell her everything about that thought that is wrong. Now she can get angry, or she can feel hurt and begin to yield to the poor me. Hallelujah. But you know, the devil's not satisfied. satisfied with that. So he begins to enlist the desires. The husband, working with his mind and his emotion, begins to desire to bring his wife into subjection. And the wife, using her mind and her emotion, begins to desire to overthrow the dominion of the husband. Hallelujah. So the husband becomes the enemy, or the wife is the enemy. And Satan is back here.
Huh?
And he is laughing, at the Christian. There you go. Hallelujah. And he's just made a fool of you and me. But it's more serious than that. Because the devil has no ability to feed and to have strength, have the vitality to overcome you unless you give it to him. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Oh, my. I want to show you the scriptural principle. Back into Genesis, the third chapter. It says that the devil says to the woman, before I go there, I have to finish what I started while ago concerning the conversation that the devil had with Eve. Hallelujah. Back here in chapter 3, verse 4, somebody going to read it? Chapter 3, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye shall eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods.
Genesis 4, mayon ang bilin. Bilin din ako, bumatay ka mo. Disulti ka sa Diyos ka rin niyo. Kaya nasayo naman ito siya na kung pagkakang tawarin niya maakri ang inyong salabutan kung may sama ka ka rin na nasayo po sa mayo o po sa ilaman.
When it says ye shall be as gods, the me becomes a me god.
Good. Ang Diyos na sa nalas mo sa mga mahimong ang Diyos as
Now, brethren, the devil wasn't just talking words. It was a negative prophecy. A prophecy that if heard, listened, and yielded to, that word would create within the individual a particular nature.
Huh?
Hallelujah. The Lord said about his words,
he
said, my what? They are spirit and they are life. Now, the devil knows that principle. And it is a principle that works in the converse as well as in the positive. So if a negative word that has a spiritual purpose is spoken to you, it creates a spiritual environment within you. Hallelujah. Let me tell you how it works in a simple explanation. Hallelujah. Somebody comes to you and they tell you that this person is saying bad things about you. And that person, the things he tells you are very bad. And they are not true. But you don't think about them not being true about what they are saying. It begins to create something in your mind. It begins to build an animosity in your mind. It begins to build in your mind a thinking that you need to revenge yourself against that person. You begin to think bad thoughts about that person. And what those thoughts begin to do in your soul is to begin to program you to move and to act in a certain way about that person. And one of the first things you stop doing is talking to that person. The devil has just cut you off. And the devil is feeding off of your animosity, or is feeding off of your resentment, and it's making him stronger. And because you are a spirit, and because you have the spiritual potential and capability, the thoughts you begin to think about that person opens the door by which the devil can go and hit that person. Without you in the equation, the devil could never do it. Did you hear me? Without you, it would have been impossible for the devil to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you are programmed in a nature of death and damnation and darkness. Hallelujah. In warfare, there are certain rules that have been laid down by God. And one of the warfares pertains as to how the devil gets his strength. In the same chapter, he said, when the Lord was ministering judgment to the devil, in verse 14, it says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above every cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thou and thus shalt thou eat all the days of your life." Now tell me, what is so significant about that scripture? Well, the Bible defines it for you and I later on in the chapter. In that he says to man, "Thus thou art." And unto dust shalt thou return. Oh, hallelujah. So, I don't know. Do they have a snake in the Philippines that eats dirt?
Huh?
Is there a snake that eats dirt?
Huh?
They don't eat dirt. They eat live things. They don't eat dirt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the dirt that he's talking about is the dirt that you and I are made of. And what greater weapon? What greater weapon could God give man than the ability to cut off the devil's food supply? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you have one very graphic illustration that happened here in the Philippines. Here in World War II, there were 70,000 U.S. troops and Filipino troops that I believe they were here somewhere on Mindanao Island. I don't know for sure. But the U.S. pulled MacArthur and the Marines and Army out of the Philippines. Pulled them out, cut them off. And the only thing that the enemy had to do was to wait and bide their time. They ran out of ammunition. They ran out of food. And they had to surrender. Oh my God. Hallelujah. You have the power to turn off the food supply to the devil. Hallelujah. When you and I receive God, God comes in and knocks me off the throne. Hallelujah. And we become born again. But we are born again, encapsulated with darkness. We have the darkness in our mind that is filtering down into our soul, our emotions, our will, our desires. Hallelujah. They have the nature of the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God wants to expand the capacity of God in you. But the only way that God can expand that capacity is if you work with God. Hallelujah. So it's not enough just to come to church. It's not enough just to pay your tithes. It's not enough just to be a good Christian. The idea of God is that this soul becomes submissive in every aspect to the will of God. Hallelujah. So you have a nature that is called God, buried deeply in enemy territory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And brethren, even with that, it would almost be an impossible task to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. But God does not leave us without help. For God, the Holy Spirit, and His Son Jesus, which is the Christ, begins to speak to the soul concerning its need to overcome. So it begins to minister to us our need for the baptism. Baptism in water, baptism in Holy Spirit. Because it is not enough just to have a direct line to God. You have to have the authority to obey God. Hallelujah. So God begins to speak to you about your need to be spirit baptized. Baptism in the Holy Spirit that comes with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. The necessity of tongues is that it has to be a line of communication between you and God that is dealing with the infirmities of your soul. Hallelujah. Those things that pertain to your Filipino nature, the nature of the tribe in which you were born, and the familiarity of the family that you are born in. The whole idea of God is not to rapture you to heaven. The whole idea is to get all of God inside of you. that is unlimited. Hallelujah. That is why Paul, when he was talking to the Galatian church, he says, it is Christ in you that is the hope of glory. Story. It is that nature that will have the ability to stop the devil in the time of that great persecution. Hallelujah. If you have denominational thinking, if you belong to a sectarian organization, hallelujah, you will not find the reality of what God wants to do within you. And I don't care if it's a mainline church, or it's one of these fellowships. If your fellowship is not developing in you that nature of God, you're in the wrong fellowship. You're in the wrong place. And your safety, your security, assured, or will be sufficient to cover you when that tribulation comes. Hallelujah. You know, the devil in the Philippines is being restrained. But there is a time frame to that restraintment. Hallelujah. You have a threat in Mindanao Island that is every bit a greater threat to you as a Christian. As is any of these things that is happening over there in Africa and Asia. Hello? It's the same mentality. It is the same brutality. It is the same lust for blood. And God is holding it back for a time period. But that time period is coming to a close. Hallelujah. And the only hope that you or I have for our families or for any of those that we care about is the revelation of Christ that is in you, your hope of glory. Hallelujah.
others. If you're in this sectarian mindset, this Christian sectarian mindset of church and denomination, you have to make a decision. Because God says, come out of her, my people, and touch not the unclean thing. Lest you become a partaker of her plague. The first place the devil is coming is to this denominational sectarian position of religion. That's the first place the devil is coming. I do not want to be in any one of these positions. I want to be in the position of where it says in John 17. I am in Christ. I am in Christ. Christ is in me. And we are in the Father. Hallelujah. God bless you.